The Mystery of the Outdoors Man.
January 2nd, the second day of a brand new year. Something over, and something just begun. That's the way I feel, anyway. I thought the biggest problem I'd have going back home to Big River for Christmas was that I was broke. No presents for anyone. But Mom, being Mom, had bought presents for everyone and put my name on them just in case. It was a great Christmas. Better now that I'd been away. To see everyone. Mom's side, the Walker side, and Dad's, the Devereaux's. Our fourth Christmas since my father died. Yeah. Christmas holidays, jingle bells, and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas and all that. It was great. Until my father reached out of his grave and tapped me on the shoulder.
Hey, Flash, over here.
Hey,
sit down. Meet Terry. Terry, this is Flash.
Hi.
Terry's visiting. She's a cousin of Marcy. She's from Kashabui.
Hey, don't say it that way. Come on, it's bigger than Big River.
Everything's bigger than Big River. My thing's bigger than Big River.
God, you're terrible.
And Flash here, well, we've known each other since before we had flies in our pants.
One track mind.
Yeah.
Flash is a resident of Toronto now. He's a writer.
I'm a cab driver.
No, you're a writer who sometimes drives
a cab. I'm a cab driver who sometimes has delusions he could write if he ever got started.
Then how come they call you Flash?
Good point.
Stewie, the wayward son of the wealthiest family in town and my best friend, called me a couple of days after Christmas, said he could set me up with this beautiful blonde nurse visiting Big River from Thunder Bay. She turned out to be a brunette and a waitress from Kashabui, but other than that, Stewie was telling the truth. She was cute, and that's why I was sitting in the bar at the Queen's Hotel when Norm Martin came in and he motioned me over to his table. Just as simple as that. And what I had been trying to forget for the last 4 years, it all came screaming back.
I don't think there's anything of value, you know.
Right.
Just some work shirts, old pair of safety boots, change of socks, I think. A windbreaker. It's just that, you know, when I cleaned out his locker at the mill, I didn't want to bother your mother at the time. I mean, it was tough, the way he died and all.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I packed everything up in a carton, took it home, waited for the right moment. I never did feel like the right moment. So, it sat in my back kitchen for over 3 years now. And my wife, she's been saying, for God's sake, either throw it out or do something about it. So, maybe if you want to come over and have a look through, you could decide.
Yeah, well, okay. I had a few more beers with Stewie and Terry and Stewie's girlfriend Marcy to kind of fortify myself, I guess. Then I walked over to Norm Martin's house. The streetlights were just coming on, and the snow was piled up high beside people's walks and along the roads, and the Christmas lights were still up, and the moon, pale as a ghost. September 23rd, 1988. My father and I were out at our cabin doing a little fishing and getting the place ready for moose season, like always, laying in wood, putting on the storm windows, working on our old snowmobile. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, and for some reason I knew, felt, right away, something was wrong. I got up, went out to the front room. The cabin door was open. I stood there, shivering. I said, Dad? Dad?
Dad? It is. Right here. Yeah, I can reach it. There. You go ahead now, Walker. Look through. Take anything you want. The rest, well, I'll look after it. All right?
Sure.
Okay. You just take your time now.
Norm Martin went back into the main part of his house. I opened up the carton. There were two work shirts folded on top, just like he'd said. The sleeves were still rolled up, like Dad always wore them. They needed a wash, just like Dad's work shirts always needed a wash. Oil stains, frayed collars. I picked them up, pressed them against my face, faint but unmistakable, or maybe it was just my imagination. The smell of tobacco, of sweat. Almost the first smell I can remember as a little kid. Pick me up, Dad. Pick me up. Dad. I called out Dad, and then walked to the open door of the cabin, took one step outside, bang! And the night rocked. I ran down to the lake. The shotgun was still swaying from an old nail in a tree. He lay in the moonlight, blood splayed across the rocks. His head in the cold began to steam.
Oh, oh, that you, Walker? Six.
Hey, Ma, how's it going?
I think my arms are gonna fall off. And
you have to say that if the light is setting.
I did.
Did you know different Charlie were getting you a rowing machine?
If I had, I would have stopped them.
You want to keep in shape.
Why? Oh, that is really enough. Oh. Now here, can you help me shove it under the bed?
Well, all your volunteer work and everything, you're on a zillion committees, aren't you?
I know.
And Judy and Deb think you're trying to do too much. You don't want to get yourself run down.
Look who's talking. Well, what kind of exercise, what kind of meals do you eat in Toronto? Do you eat regularly? And how can you get a decent sleep when you're driving a cab all night? And how can I get a decent sleep when I think you're either going to get shot or starve to death?
Okay, sorry I asked. I was thinking of Dad today. I walked up to the mill.
Oh.
He liked working there, didn't he?
Well, he liked going up into the bush in the winter to cut timber. Look forward to that. Didn't like the inside work so much.
Oh, yeah, he liked the woods. Mm. Not much of a businessman, was he?
He certainly wasn't.
You did the banking and...
Yeah, I the banking, everything. I took care of all the finances. He took care of the fishing and hunting and playing poker with the boys. Oh, he was a wonderful man. Kind, decent man. But he certainly wasn't a businessman. Why, Walker? Why do you ask?
Oh, I was just thinking about him. I think about him.
I know.
Norm Martin was mostly right about what was in the box, except it wasn't a windbreaker, it was an old leather vest. He liked to use it in the canoe because it kept his arms free and it had pockets for his cigarettes and his flask. Rocket fuel, he called it. The flask wasn't there. Just a half package of dried up rum, cigarette tobacco, some cigarette papers, and in the inside pocket, a bank book.
Hey, Sabar! Salut!
Hey, look who's here. My boy.
How you doing?
I'm up to guy. Walker, Walker, Walker.
You're crushing me.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some bubble gum?
You always say that.
I gotta fix that damn truck. Bubble gum, binder twine,
three Hail Marys. You always say that, too.
Hey, it's true. Every time. What do you think, I'm making it up? Come on to the office. Come on. There's a relative of yours in here. Should meet.
Oh?
Walker? Meet Johnny. Johnny? Meet Walker.
That's pretty good, Mr. Savard.
Just made it up, huh? Here's to you, me, and the devil. He never catches.
Yeah. I went over to Norm Martin's today. He had some old stuff Dad's from the mill. Some stuff that was left in his locker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There was this passbook. You know, a bank book? He deposited $4,000 in it. In March, the year he died. The last withdrawal was in September, just 2 weeks before.
Yeah, a long time ago now, eh?
I wonder what he was up to. You know, Dad, he never had any money. It was a joke in our family. Every second Friday, he'd make a big deal of giving Mom his paycheck. Sometimes he'd carry it on a velvet pillow or stick it in his hat. She did all the banking. Mom doesn't know anything about this. I'm sure of it. Mr. Savard, you were his best friend.
Everybody was Gerard Devereaux's best friend. Everybody loved Gerard. He was always fun, you know. Well, sometimes he'd get a little carried away, but always good in his heart. My advice, don't worry about your dad. Come on, have another drink.
How did he get $4,000? Did he sell something? What? The whole family would have known. And why did he need it?
I don't know, son.
The bank's not even in Big River. It's in Marathon. He had to drive 50 miles down the road.
Walker.
I think, if I could just find out why he did it. Any reason. I don't care. I could get over it, you know?
How's the car running?
Okay. Judy and Fred, they've been trying to talk her into getting a new one, but you know my mother, stubborn.
Yeah. Sounds all right.